This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100 megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan, live from Palmer's in Dallas, off of Mockingbird. We've been rocking and rolling all day long. Still got a couple of the Tolo Happy Holiday flasks left if you want to come by and pick one up. But right now, it's time for the C Block, starring Corey Majors.
Thank you very much, Kevin. I really appreciate
that. You're welcome.
I'm glad that we are out here today at Palmer's. Hot chicken, catfish, and shrimp. And the logo has catfish in it. I see it up there now. Wow, that's a great logo, dude. Nice work, Palmer.
Yeah,
that's awesome. And the food's exceptional.
That's
come on out here and get you the roasted chicken. I did not expect it to.
Chicken was incredible.
Because whenever I first came here, like it was like I got tenders and all that stuff, and then he was like, "Hey, try this roasted chicken out," and I was like, "Excuse me," and it was phenomenal.
What did we just see? We saw tater tots covered in like the pimento cheese queso and fried chicken on top.
That looked amazing.
That's great. I love it. I love it. And I'm glad we're out here and we got some of those flasks left for the Tolos. Now, Kevin, I was rolling through. We've been talking a lot about the Texans' hit on Trevor Lawrence.
Yep.
And what all happened there.
Yep.
But what was the other part of it that we decided was a very key feature to that? And that is, there needs to be penalties on quarterbacks that fake it. There needs to be some sort of, hey, look, man, like you can't say that you're going to do this and be that kind
Kenny
of guy.
Pickett.
Yeah. Some coaches know that certain quarterbacks do things like that. Well, Dan Campbell evidently knew about it and had a conversation with his team and the referees before the game, according to Amon-Ra St. Brown.
The craziest part is before the game or in our team meeting, Dan was talking to us and he was showing clips of Caleb like going out of bounds, going back in, going out. He said, "No, you don't." The beginning of it was, "No, you don't." And then it was just clips of him doing that. He goes, "If he does this, we're going to hit his ass." And he's already warned the refs. The refs know. So when it happened in the game, like, I already know there's no flag. Cause
yeah, he was not
out of bounds, came back in. Jack hit his ass. We're like, yeah. And everyone on the Bears like, "What the f-? That's a flag." We're like, "Bro, he went out, literally came back in and took it. Like, damn."
Yeah, no, he never stepped out of bounds. So like,
"No, you don't."
Yeah, that part of it, of he's not going to let that happen. Don't be fooled by this. That's old school coach right there.
That is.
I don't care. You know, we've already told the refs that he does this, so don't throw a flag if he tries to fake it out. And the hit that they're specifically talking about was the one where it looked like they took the whole Caleb Williams' whole hip section out.
Oh, yes.
In the game on Thanksgiving. And I remember watching that hit with my father-in-law, and he was like, "I really think that they were trying to injure him." And then when I watch it now and I think of what I just learned there, I'm like, no, they weren't trying to injure him. They were trying not to be fooled. They weren't going to be fooled by the step out of bounds thing there. So that's Dan Campbell's an old school coach. Like, that's the style that he coaches with.
Looks like Williams also lost all coordination at the end of that run. I remember going, he's a coordinated guy. Like, I get it if it's like, you know, old 40-year-old quarterback trying to, for the last time, get around the edge and maybe get some yards. But I'm like, he's athletic, and he turned into the most unathletic person in the world for his last two steps.
I wonder how much of it, because I don't know if they did that during the game to him already, if they'd already hit him out. I got to go back and look if they'd hit him a couple times before, and he was maybe considering not doing it. You know, he was like, "I don't know, what should I do to try and get those extra yards?" But again, that's part of that conversation of, look, if you're going to do that, you got to expect that this is going to happen, and you can't worry about these flags now. So that's the thing there. But, again, I go to the old school vibe of Dan Campbell telling him, his guys, not necessarily putting a bounty out, but just making sure that his guys keep that physicality. And that's what I'm watching right now in the Hard Knocks AFC North. It's on Amazon Prime, and I guess it's on HBO, but I get it through Amazon Prime is how I get my HBO. And Mike Tomlin, when he speaks to his team, dude, I want to play for that guy. Like that, just the way that he's getting them mentally prepared for things. I know some of these coaches, like one of the Cleveland offensive line coaches I was watching it last night, and he starts speaking to his team about the Chief and Jameis Winston, and he's going on, and you know, he's getting firing his offensive lineman up, and Adrian goes, I think this guy's playing it up for the camera right now. And I was like, yeah, he definitely is. But man, they do have a unique style of football that the AFC North plays that I really appreciate. And I really do like this because whenever they do the Cowboys in Hard Knocks, doesn't it feel like there's so much filler of sprinklers and, you know, like you're like, oh.
Yeah, Schreiber talking about how it's going to be a big day.
Yeah.
Does he still do the voiceover?
He does a lot of times. I don't know, like, who. Maybe I'll check on this one. But this one just feels, because it's four teams, it's just action-packed stuff.
Oh, that makes sense.
You know, because it just seems like the storytellers are actually the coaches and the players. Those are the ones telling the story, because the action is happening so much. So they're not having to fill with all this extra, these extra shots that don't necessarily need to be there. So I always felt that the single team just feels a little slow. This one feels really action-packed. And, like I said, I have a ton of respect for Mike Tomlin, a ton of respect for Harbaugh. And you get a lot of behind the scenes. If you like Lamar Jackson, you're getting some good behind the scenes stuff on how they treat him at practice and how he, you know, what he expects from his team.
I think that makes a lot of sense to do four teams, because Derek Harper said this. I'll give him credit. He probably, you know, pick it from somebody else. I can't believe he'd be the first person to ever say this, but you have to love the boring.
Yes.
And so the thing is, if you're watching this Hard Knocks, so just go to baseball. Well, if you're watching me on a plane watch the Detroit Tigers, who I'm going to face as my next start, and I'm watching the last 50 at-bats of Riley Green, and I'm just watching them against lefties, and I'm kind of seeing what they're doing. I have the scouting report in front of me, and so I'm going back from watching video to reading a little bit of the report and seeing if they're matching up with what I'm seeing. What are my strengths? What can I do here? Like, that's going to take me 20 minutes to work off of Riley Green. And I'm on the plane for 2 hours. So, you know, some other guys that maybe aren't as important, I'm not going to take as much time. Well, like, that's always tough for, like, Hard Knocks. Like, all right, like, we're just going to film the dude on the plane sitting there watching video of Riley Green and just, like, writing a few notes.
Preparation is a huge part for Mike Bassett.
Right, but I mean, like, that's it. But when you have four teams, you're like, we don't have to do that. Like, but you kind of have to do it when you're doing Hard Knocks. So it's like, we got to just watch this guy study film. But it's not like I'm watching going, oh, I just saw Riley Green and his weakness. Oh, you know, you're like, well, that one looked like I could probably do that, but I have to set it up by that, but maybe not, because then this next at bat, like,
it's really
easy
interesting
as you think.
Tomlin watching film, the things he's talking about, like, it changed the way I was thinking about some of the game too. And he's talking about, you know, open grass and that being just areas that are free for guys like Jamar Chase to be in and create space. Like, I was really getting an understanding of how they look at it. And Mike Tomlin thinks of the game in a great way. But what was really impressive is how much all these teams have respect for the best players on the other teams. They know Myles Garrett. Like, they know, look, we got to pay attention to this. They're talking about him. They're talking about Jamar Chase, Pickens. That, you know, they have a ton of respect for him because they want their players to understand, you're going up against something special, but you're just as good as that guy. But we got to make sure we eliminate him from the game. Not like as a human, but just from the game in general. So
that's a good idea. Yeah. Let's not do that. Let's not do the other one. I don't think that's right.
But Joe Burrow, this is one of the little moments that I caught, though. It was Joe Burrow, and he was talking with Jamar Chase, and he was talking with T. Higgins. And he bought one of the Batmobiles, the Tumbler Batmobile, Mike. It's the one that
kind of looks like a tank. Kind of go sideways.
It looks like a little all-terrain vehicle.
The wheels tumble.
Yeah.
I'm sure they
525 power horsepower engine from GM, smokescreen delivery system, imitation gun turrets, jet engine simulation, and he won't be able to get it for, what, a few months?
For a year.
But
and that, look, because that's because they have such a limited production run.
Oh, yeah, there's only like 10 of them. There's only like 10 of them made.
Yeah. And so that's how you know your product is big. If you're like, I need $3 million. And they go, okay, great. We'll give this to you in a year.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
That's why it's amazing that it still has the machine gun turrets. Like, I could see why that would not be street legal.
The
fake.
I know, but like,
you can always change it if you want, right?
But if you're a driver and you see these guns pop up, like, you're not thinking,
I'm a little
hold
scared.
On a minute, those are probably fake. Oh, too late.
So that sort of that brought the idea, because I think that's an awesome car. If I'm not driving it on the streets, I certainly understand I'd love to have it and drive that around. What are the greatest cars from movies all time? I got a little bit of a list from AI.
Okay, I don't know if this one is on the list, and if it is, sorry for jumping in. The DeLorean from Back to the Future, just because I feel like people, that movie came out like 40 years ago.
Then we still
love
it.
You can get one of those for pretty cheap.
Yeah.
I know, but people still like, it seems to still capture their imagination.
I'm still fascinated that the DeLorean like itself isn't still around as a new model all the time.
Sure. I think it's because everyone's like, the door thing is dumb, and it doesn't really.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, it's Mark Schler with the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. The NFL season is in full swing, and I'll be here to break down all the action like no one else can. Follow and listen to the Stinkin' Truth Podcast on your free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Go back in time.
I remember watching a documentary on Mr. DeLorean. I think it ended up being somewhat a piece of dump.
Yeah, yes. It didn't work out.
I think I have seen that.
That was an issue.
I think I have seen that, actually.
They got it. They're like, this car stinks.
According to this list, the top 10 does have the Tumbler, though. Tumbler is on it.
The wheels?
From the Dark Knight. That car. That specific car.
But there's no way, like, the wheels do that turning.
No, it does not do the same.
That's what I was like. Because when I think of Tumbler, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. So you think they should just be like, oh, crap, we got to turn.
Yeah, because that's amazing. Can somebody really make a car do that?
I bet they can.
Eleanor.
Or like Anne Hathaway's motorcycle.
Exactly. That was a dope motorcycle.
So was her. Oh.
Cat suit.
Yeah.
Eleanor from Gone in 60 Seconds, the Mustang, the Cobra Mustang.
Yeah.
They went and got the B90 taxi from The Fifth Element that Bruce Willis drove.
Oh, I was going to say I don't remember that, but yes, the flying like space. You know what sucks is you have a flying car, but you're still stuck in traffic. Like, everybody wants a flying car because you think in part it's going to get you out of traffic.
Yeah.
And they're like, every futuristic thing, you're like, no, they still got.
Yeah, they have roads in the sky. That doesn't make sense. They have a road in the sky.
I'm
like, come on,
wouldn't you just fly?
I just go around. But you don't feel like you'd run into people.
But don't you feel like you'd have more accidents if it was just open road in the sky?
Yes, I do.
Probably.
Like, you're going the wrong way. No, I'm going my way.
And it's just so hard to break. The war rig from Mad Max Fury Road.
Now that I think about, because there's variations of that car in like Dawn of the Dead and stuff. That's a car that'll get work done. If you don't want to sit in traffic, you just plow through.
Dude, that movie was intense. Fury Road was fantastic.
The new one, it's like, hey, we're 30 seconds in. The movie has begun, and it's like not going to stop until the very end. I mean, like, how many movies have you seen where it's like, let's do 20 minutes of nonsense, and then we'll get to the actual plot.
Yes.
Not Fury
that
Road.
That one gets started quickly.
Not Saving Private Ryan.
That, okay, sure. I'm not saying all movies.
Yeah, they started a lot on Normandy Beach,
yes,
man.
I know. They're right on Normandy Beach. That is a horrifying beginning to a movie.
Because of what was going on there. The Ford Coupe, 1932 from American Graffiti. The 1974 Dodge Monaco from the Blues Brothers.
Oh, yeah.
The Ectomobile from the Ghostbusters franchise.
I agree.
Hold on.
Let me just pause right there.
Yeah.
How much of the problem that comes along with this is, though, you think about the adventures as opposed to the car. That car is a piece of crap, the Ectomobile. It's like a mom old-style station wagon. You can't really catch ghosts just because you bought that car.
You don't have
a proton pack.
Yeah, well, what if I create one or if I steal one?
If you create a proton pack, you should be able to afford that station wagon.
I'm sure NASA has one. They have everything already.
They're just
slowly leaking it out
for
as
space
we go
ghosts?
Along. Yeah, for sure. Somebody has a truck. And I think it's a Chevy that they have fitted to look like a Ghostbusters car.
Awesome.
In our neighborhood. And it, like, flashes this green light all the time. And it's really cool looking. And my kids, I'm always like, man, I'm jealous that I don't drive to school and drop y'all off in that car.
Person has
time.
A heart like a truck. That was Thursday.
That is right.
And that lady with the bell bottoms.
You know what, Kevin? Since we got Tony Khan on the way and Mike's going to eat the napalm. Hey.
All right.
That's the C block.
Can I add something to the C block for the Mike Likes It tomorrow?
Uh-huh.
I watched last night, since you're talking about this Hard Knocks thing with the AFC North, I watched last night with my kids. I want to say it was on Amazon Prime. It was Game 7s. And the third episode
It's about the Mavericks, right?
It's solid. I will say, if you watch it and you know the history of the Mavs, you know, better than, let's say, that documentary, it's 54 minutes. It's great. I want to talk about it tomorrow.
Okay.
And it just talks about how Dirk Nowitzki, in that game, changed the image of European players. I think in times they go a little bit extreme with just that game.
Is that Game 7 against the Spurs, right?
Spurs in the semifinals.
Okay.
But that's they take five Game 5s in the history of kind of recent sports.
Yep.
And one of the five, the basketball one they chose, was 2006. So it's awesome for my kids because they weren't alive
when we
watched that.
Okay.
So it's not a bad one to watch. So maybe during Mike Likes It tomorrow, I talk about a Game 7 show off of the 06 semifinals against the Spurs.
Looking forward to it. Coming up next, we'll continue our broadcast live from Palmer's in Dallas off of Mockingbird. We will talk with Chief Football Strategy Officer for the Jags and AEW founder, president, owner, Tony Khan. And Mike is going to take the napalm challenge. All of it coming at you next right here on The Fan.
Instead, they're going to keep it on the ground here. This is Bigsby. Bigsby taking on tacklers. Bigsby still going, and he bangs it in. Touchdown.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 Through the Fan. We're live at Palmer's in Dallas off of Mockingbird if you want to come see us. And right now, we bring to you Chief Football Strategy Officer for the Jags and AEW founder, president, and owner, Tony Khan. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me on today.
Man, I know there's a lot of important stuff going on. The official presale for All In Texas is Monday, but if you've got some of those amazing presale codes, you can start buying right now. I don't know if there's any of those you want to give out there, and I want to get to that, but we had a couple of quick football questions as well, if that's okay with you.
Okay.
Now, for Trevor Lawrence, have you had an opportunity to talk to him? I know the word on the street is he's going to get surgery on his shoulder. Is that accurate? And how mentally do you deal with losing your quarterback in what's already been a really tough season?
It's been a very challenging season. I think, wishing Trevor the best. He's been so great for Jacksonville and the Jaguars. I think the world to Trevor, and you know, we're all wishing him the best in his recovery. I really have so much respect for him, and he's the future and present of the franchise. But it's very unfortunate that, you know, we can't finish the season with Trevor. He's been so great for us. You know, he obviously really wants to get out there and play, but we're all wishing him the best and, you know, looking forward to Trevor coming back to us next year.
And, Tony, I want to ask this respectfully because I have a Trevor Lawrence jersey. I'm a big fan of Trevor Lawrence. Obviously, what you just talked about, it hasn't been the best year for you guys and Trevor Lawrence's. Has he, I know you're not him, but has he maybe lost his confidence? He was so awesome in college. He was really good for you guys in your playoff year and then was good most of last year till the end. You guys dropped off. Like, I just watch it and I want you guys to be good and I want Trevor Lawrence to be great. And I'm just struggling to go, what has happened to Trevor Lawrence and the Jags from a couple years ago?
Trevor Lawrence has played really well this year. Trevor Lawrence is in the top 10 in QBR. He's an excellent, excellent quarterback. And I think he's played very well. So yeah. I do think it's unfortunate he's not going to be able to play right now, but he's a top, top quarterback. And there's a lot of reasons we haven't been able to finish, but I do think Trevor's a tremendous player and he has played well. And, that, you know, he's been great for us. Like you said, he was great for us in our playoff season. He was great last year, and he's been great this year. And I expect great things out of Trevor next year, too. He, like I said, is the future of the Jaguars franchise.
We had the opportunity to have in studio the other day. It was Dustin Rhodes, and it was just a pleasure to have him. He's just such a wonderful guy. And
we got Bobby Lashley in studio coming up on Monday.
Yeah, and I was just kind of curious for you, having, you know, getting both of those fields. You got wrestling, you got football that you're working in. Have you run into a player that you had a lot of admiration for, and you've just been stunned by how great they are as a person?
Oh, so many times, yes. You know, both the people you just named, Dustin Rhodes and Bobby Lashley, are so quality people. Those are two great people. One of the greatest people ever in the wrestling business, and I think everybody who's ever worked with him would agree, and somebody who lives there around Dallas and has had this incredible career all over the world in wrestling and ended his career on the highest of notes in AEW, is the icon Sting.
Yeah.
Sting, one of the nicest people in the history of the world. And that's why I think everybody in wrestling was so happy for him. Not only a great wrestler, but a really great person, Sting. You know, we were just talking about Trevor Lawrence, one of the nicest people you'll ever meet, and what a great person to work with. And I get to work with so many great people across football and pro wrestling. And there are a lot of really, really great people in the Jaguars locker room, the Fulham Football Club locker room in the Premier League, and in AEW. You know, the wrestlers, they hit hard, but there's a lot of really nice people in the AEW locker room, and it's a great company.
For All In, obviously you guys have been at Wembley the last couple of years. What was it about Arlington and the Metroplex area that had you guys thinking this should be our first American stadium show?
Well, I think for years we've been waiting to bring a pay-per-view event to Texas.
Yeah.
We've always wanted to do it in a big way, and the fans have been asking for years. And the Texas wrestling fans are so passionate, and they get so excited about the major events. And for us, we've seen that engagement with the fans week in, week out, with the great fans there around Dallas and all over Texas. And we think there are going to be fans coming from all over to go to AEW All In Texas. And like you said, tickets are on sale now. You can use the presale code RANGERS. Since the game is at the Rangers Stadium, the presale code RANGERS for AEW All In tickets. And they go officially on sale on Monday at 10 a.m., but you can get them now. You don't have to wait until Monday if you use that code RANGERS for AEW All In tickets. And it's really exciting for us. We do all these great events, all these great TV shows, week in, week out, and I absolutely love doing wrestling every Wednesday at 7 p.m. on TBS, every Saturday, 7 p.m. on TNT. It's a great thing we have going, but the pay-per-view events get people the most excited, and AEW does the best pay-per-view events in wrestling. Every time we go out on pay-per-view, it's a great event, especially these massive shows when we go to a big stadium like this. And this is going to be the first time we've ever tried it anywhere in America. It's going to be a huge event. Like you said, we've run AEW All In twice at Wembley Stadium in London, and we set the world record for ticket sales for pro wrestling. We sold more tickets to that show than anyone has ever sold to any wrestling show ever. And I think right now with that AEW All In Texas, it's going to be a huge hit. And you don't have to wait till Monday when the tickets go on sale for everybody. You can get them now with the pre-sale code RANGERS.
Look at that. Already providing information for the people. Now, I am also one of those people who is begging for a pay-per-view, having been to every edition of Winter is Coming at the Curtis Colwell Center in Garland. So I am also really excited that y'all are bringing a pay-per-view here to Texas.
Absolutely. I cannot wait for that. And I'm glad. I really appreciate, by the way, that you've been to all those great Winter is Coming events. Winter is coming up next week on Wednesday Night Dynamite. It's a great event. And now we brought a lot of the top TV shows. Like you said, Winter is Coming, one of the biggest AEW TV events of the year. And now bringing the biggest pay-per-view event with AEW All In Texas coming up.
Now, I've asked you about this particular individual before, and it's sometimes I'm just curious why this continues to come up, or if you have a thought about it, because you guys are coming here to Arlington, going to pack the place, I have no doubt. You talked about setting the record at Wembley last year. And then there's your good old buddy, Eric Bischoff, who always has something to contribute about AEW. And just this week, he said that you guys are doing horrible and there's no hope for them. What would you say to that, and why do you think there continues to be this, like, antagonistic relationship, perhaps, from Bischoff for you guys?
I have no idea. I don't really care what he says. We've done really, really well, and we've got a great thing going with AEW. We've got something really, really to be proud of. We not only are going to be, for years to come, doing the shows on TBS and TNT, we're going to set the record for the longest run of pro wrestling ever on TNT, in fact. And it's pretty amazing because for a company that's only 5 years old, we've accomplished so much. Like I said, we set the world record for wrestling ticket sales. And we're just going into this new media rights deal that is historic and it hasn't even kicked in yet. Starting January 1st, every week, you can watch Dynamite still on Wednesdays on TBS, but we're going to be live streaming on Max, which is a top streaming platform, and I really think it's the best streaming platform with the best movies and TV shows. And we're going to have AEW every Wednesday night live streaming on Max and every Saturday night on Max, in addition to TNT. So, you know, it's really important for us because cable is massive. It's massive for sports and wrestling. And TBS and TNT, those are staples of cable, as Eric himself knows very well. But it's really important for the future to also have a foothold in streaming. And that's what we're going to have now with AEW also on Max in addition to TBS and TNT. So I think AEW is doing fantastic.
So, Tony, recently I've gotten into watching some YouTube clips of a lot of different wrestlers. And it's been fun for me to see the story of these are older wrestlers, DDP, and then Stunning Steve, who's a blonde dude who ends up becoming Stone Cold Steve Austin. Is there somebody right now in AEW where he just has a fascinating story that you'd love to point me and the audience to kind of learn the career and history of where this person got to where they are today?
That's a really great question. There's so many great careers and so many people in AEW that have come from interesting backgrounds and different places to get where they are right now in the world of wrestling. I think Darby Allin is somebody with a really fascinating life story, somebody who survived a car crash, and that's why his face is half painted the way it is, because Darby Allin feels like he's got one foot in the ground and he's lucky to be alive. You know, he always says, "I'm half dead." And and he also says nothing's over until you're in the ground, which is why Darby Allin pushes himself so hard. He's the ultimate risk taker. And we're really excited to have Darby Allin in the Continental Classic right now. We got some of the top stars in AEW competing in this great tournament that's happening right now on our TV shows on TBS and TNT every week. He's a huge part of it. He'll be wrestling on TNT 7 o'clock on this Saturday on Collision. And he's got a fascinating story. He takes risks like nobody I've ever known. He is the greatest stuntman I've ever met, and he's a fantastic pro wrestler, and I think people would be fascinated by Darby Allin.
And, you know, we actually did have Darby Allin in studio.
He was awesome.
I think right after you guys first announced this all-in event, and he was so nice. Like, I know you said there's a lot of nice people, but sometimes you don't always get to interview the nicest people in the world. He was a super cool guy, very informative, and I would be inclined to agree with you. I think people should go check out his story as well. All right, where can people get tickets, either with the pre-sale or on Monday? How can they pick up tickets to the first AEW Stadium show in America, AEW All in Texas?
Well, thank you for asking. You can get your tickets now, AEWTix.com, with that pre-sale code RANGERS. And if you don't want to go use the pre-sale with a code, you can wait until Monday. Everybody's going to be buying fast and furious on Monday. You can get ahead of the line now with the pre-sale code RANGERS at AEWTix.com. Or on Monday, you can go to that same website, AEWTix.com, or you can go to Globe Life Stadium.
Boom. There you go. Thank you very, very much. Thanks for jumping on with us. Like I said, we'll have Bobby Lashley on Monday. We really appreciate your time, good sir.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me on to talk about AEW All In.
Absolutely. There you go. Tony Khan right here on 105.3 The Fan. Now, we do have another piece of business in front of us at the moment. It is the Napalm Challenge, and if you heard that sigh, that is the sigh of Mike Bacsik, who has not taken a bite yet, but may have bitten off more than he can chew.
It definitely smells hot, if that makes sense.
I think everyone listening knows what you mean.
I have a live coming up. I don't think I'm going to be able to do it once I take a bite of this.
Do you think you should faux do this live right now and then eat it?
Yeah, sir, this is going to be weird if I can say, hey, guys, let's talk about Men's Tea Clinic real quick while I can still talk, okay? Mm-hmm. So, guys, if you're feeling – do I have Men's Tea Clinic? Am I right, Alec? Do I or do I not?
You don't.
I don't even
great.
Have that.
So, go ahead.
So, look, Men's Tea Clinic, there's an extra 10 seconds for you. They'll add an extra 10 seconds for you. You know what I'm saying? Okay, oh, God.
Stop trying to stall, Mike.
Are you scared?
You said this was your dream. This is your Everest.
Yeah, live your dream, Mike. Experience the fire.
All right, here's my mic. Back at my mic. Back at my mouth.
Put it in your mouth.
Oh, my God. Here we go. I'm going to take this bite with no ranch on it or anything. It smells hot.
Yeah, there he goes. Look, man, you're living your life. That's probably got a good flavor to it now, doesn't it? So you got a little flavor action going.
It's hot.
It is hot.
He's starting to close
The great
his
thing
eyes
about
too.
Heat like this is it goes away pretty quickly. You know, it's not like it sits in the mouth as you chew.
No, if that is totally factually accurate.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. He's trying to chew
his food. This is the napalm challenge.
Yeah, he's trying to chew the food right now, Kevin.
All right,
so talking's difficult.
This is the napalm challenge. At Palmer's. Whoa. By the way, the owner goes, he had to leave and he dropped it off and he goes, I can't wait to listen to this.
Let me get my deal.
Okay. Oh, no.
He is not in on this. He is scared. Oh, man, that was a bad decision. Yeah, you're going to need some of the grits now.
How much respect do you have for Peyton for eating that whole freaking thing? He can't talk right now. We're at Palmer's in Dallas off of Mockingbird. That is Mike Bacsik, who got one bite into the Napalm Challenge.
Good luck.
Much like Bobby Bell, and we're done. Now he is using a fork
to eat the ranch.
Eat the ranch, which is not the most efficient thing in the world, but that's all we got, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh,
that is all we got. Mike, I'm proud of you for trying it.
Yeah, man.
That's going to stick with him for about 20
I
minutes,
need it
probably.
Out of my mouth.
His nose is starting to drip a little bit, too. Yeah.
Okay. And by the way, if you get a chance on our Twitter and our YouTube accounts, there are videos of Bobby and Peyton doing this morning. And Peyton looks like he's watching The Notebook and it's broken his heart. There's like little single tears coming down. It's amazing. Do you need my water? There's ice in here.
It hurts everywhere.
I'm sorry, Mike. Who could have possibly guessed this would happen? Except it's called the Napalm Challenge.
It's napalm, bro. That's a lot. That's a lot of heat.
It hurts your throat.
It hurts the throat. The back of the
throat. Okay, I'm off.
All right, so Mike's got to take a walk. So I would advise you to come out to get the delicious food at Palmer's, but perhaps not do the Napalm Challenge. That wouldn't be my first pick for you. There's a lot of other delicious options here. Coming up next, let's chit-chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation right here on 105.3 The Fan.
We are back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan and getting ready to chit-chat with the fellows from the G-Bag Nation, courtesy of D&M Leasing. We've been out here at Palmer's Hot Chicken, Catfish, and Shrimp all day long, having a good time. And let's go back to the studio and say hi to the fellas. Fellas, how is you today?
Awesome, Majors. How are you?
Well, my day got lightened up when Mike started eating the Napalm Challenge wing, and he tried that out. And right now, he is diving into the banana pudding because the heat was so much. Mike, how you feeling?
Not good.
Okay, all right.
Oh.
But that banana pudding hits, though, right?
It is a great banana pudding, but just talking hurts
because
your throat gets more air on it.
I never
knew air on your throat could hurt so bad.
Now, is Broadus back there with you, fellas?
Yes, sir. Here.
Okay, Broadus, have you tried the Napalm Hot Tender yet?
Have not.
Okay.
I've learned some about Palmer's food, and I absolutely love how they do it. But if the food color is maroon, it's like death.
Yes.
It really is. And he makes it a tremendous wrap. And
those wraps are good.
But man, I'll tell you what, you really have to fight. But I enjoy hot things. I don't enjoy things that hot.
Yeah,
but the napalm one I can't do.
I remember you doing the devil's blood during Peace-a-thon one night, and you were like, my tongue's numb, and I don't know if I can talk for the next segment. And I tried it, and it was miserable.
Yeah,
so.
We did the nitro gummy, too, as a bet payoff. And actually, some of that when Palmer's brought up chicken before, we've done pre- and post-game shows, really appreciate it. Great food, man. But when it's got that tint to it, that maroon tint, you know it's got some heat to it as well. Good stuff.
And it had some dust on it, too. Mike is now applying... He is applying the banana pudding to his lips because I assume his lips are burning, so he's trying that out, too.
I got some Icy Hot here, Mike. You want to swing by? That banana pudding is so good. Oh, my gosh.
Hopefully it goes away.
It will pass.
All right, fellas. The news of the day that broke was that Zach Martin is ending his season officially by having surgery.
Yeah.
I wanted to kind of get y'all's thoughts on you know, what this season was like for him and where you think his future might be.
I'll tell you what, I think Zach Martin might have taken one for the team here. I think Zach Martin might have realized that they're playing a little bit better without him, you know, and they're, you know, last couple of games they have. And, you know, he's thinking like, can I get well enough to play? Can I get well enough to help? Just me. I kind of feel like he's looking at this and saying, man, they're playing a little bit better without me out there. And, you know, Zach's always been kind of a team player, and this will be an opportunity. He can get himself fixed up and see where the future takes him. But I kind of have a gut feeling he's taking this one for the team.
It's a bummer to see him go out like this if this is the end. But I liked Mike's theory about, like, if you are going to get surgery, is that something that makes you feel like, okay, you're having the surgery because you want to be repaired back to be able to play?
You want to be fixed. You don't want to have to deal with this the rest of your life kind of a thing.
Right.
I kind of feel like, you know, and he very well could come. I mean, he's in a situation. I think Todd Archer was trying to explain where his contract is because of all the kick the cans and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That maybe that he could be back, but it would be at $40 million. You have to spread this thing out.
Oh, my Lord.
So, yeah, they got a kick the can situation here that they can deal with. But to me, I just feel like that Zach is so mindful of the situation that, hey, they're playing a little bit better without me being banged up out there. And I don't know if I can get well enough to help the team. So I think that he's always got the big picture in mind.
Yeah, that was one of the things. It wasn't necessarily that he was bad on every play, but whenever you have a Guyton who has a hold here, mm-hmm. and then you got this guy has this here, and then a Zach Martin, it just collectively got too much.
They have a healthy body out there playing right guard right now,
mm-hmm.
and it's made a difference the last 2 weeks. They've run the ball better, and yeah, you can say what you want. The Giants aren't a good run defense, but they haven't given up pressures. And the Commanders, kind of the strength. I'll say this about the Giants. Nobody wants to deal with that Dexter Lawrence.
No,
you know, and they've dealt with him, you know, pretty well this season. So, healthier guy has made the outlook a little bit better over there for them at right guard.
Oof. The other thing I was kind of curious on it with is it Brock Hoffman? Is he the dude there for that for the rest of the season? Then you'd hope.
I think that's where
yeah.
I think that's where it is right now. They love his toughness. They love the way how smart. I always talk about the smartest guy you know, and he might not be the most talented guy. And there's a lot of guys over there that thought that maybe that was TJ Bass's spot. When you talk to people at the Cowboys, they say Bass's best spot's at right guard. But it's been Hoffman. I'll tell you what, with Hendrickson playing for the Bengals this week, I would consider playing Smith at left tackle in this game.
And then put Bass and Hoffman.
Yeah, because the one big threat, and we'll get into this at 3:40 today, Krusty's Corner, that's their biggest threat.
Trey?
Yeah, Trey Hendrickson.
Oh, no question.
Yeah, is their biggest threat. So, yeah, it depends on how you want to go.
Man, on the other side of the ball, I just started watching the Hard Knocks AFC North last night, and it's pretty. And Mike, are you okay over here?
You crying?
He's coughing.
I thought that was something I heard gagging a little bit earlier. Was that cheers? What is he okay?
I just turned my mic off. I'm just kind of coughing and getting it out, trying to keep it off the mic.
Oh man, I feel bad for you. I was watching the AFC North thing a little bit, and I was listening to Mike Tomlin talk about Ja'Marr Chase and covering him, and they were like, just look at this guy. There's no slowdown. His best quality, like he runs and then he gets into his break and he's at the same speed immediately. Can you guys talk a little bit about what you see in the differences between the two star receivers they have on that Bengals side of the ball?
Well, I tell you, when you watch them play, the one thing that Chase does is he's a vertical player. You know, his ability to separate down the field. Joe Burrow, 13 of their touchdowns together, 5 of them have been vertical routes. So you know you're going to get some kind of shot down the field. I'll tell you where T. Higgins really helps him is down in the red zone.
Yeah, big body.
And he's finally a healthy guy. You know, and then, you know, their tight end's pretty good. The problems that they have, and we kind of addressed this yesterday, was the offensive line and the pass protection. Can, you know, Mike Zimmer come up with some ideas and plans for be able to disrupt Joe Burrow? But yeah, with Chase, you're dealing with a big body guy that can get down the field, and you know he's really good at all levels with the routes that he runs, the outs, the hitch, you know, the go routes, the slants. All those things are all part of his game. And Joe Burrow is very accurate throwing, and that makes it very, very difficult to defend.
Well, guys, I really appreciate y'all helping me as Mike is
great crosstalk
trying to figure out his life right now.
It's getting better. I had the banana pudding. Either time or banana pudding, and probably both, has helped out quite a bit, but it's still kind of there in the throat.
Yeah,
just a little bit.
When it gets into the intestines, good luck. You know,
I mean. Oh, well. Was it throat was the worst? Because that's how it was for me when I did the whatever the hot ones challenge was. Sometimes it's the tongue, sometimes it's the lips.
I have not done that thing where you guys had, is that that bomb sauce or whatever?
Yeah.
And I just take a dab of it. I've never done that. And I think this is the last time I'm ever doing the hot thing. Like,
yeah, I did that once.
Mike, you'll always be a hot boy, though.
Yeah, there you go.
Get your hot boys here. Yeah. We got a guy with one leg playing defense.
All right, what do you guys got coming up on the show, Graham, today?
Well, hopefully we're on fire as Mike is.
Nice.
Nick Harris at 4, Eric Kendricks at 5.
Oh, fantastic. Good stuff. That's the G-Bag Nation. Roll home with the fellas from the G-Bag Nation. We've been the KNC Masterpiece. We'll see you tomorrow in Rockwall at Buffalo Wild Wings. Until then, you've been Masterpieced.